And in our exercise, as we have been looking in the light of Galatians of late, and we're looking at the difference between the works of the flesh and the spirit, fruit of the Spirit of God. And when a person receives the Lord as their Savior, up until then, they are totally out of sync with God. When a person receives the Lord as their Savior, God brings rightness into wrongness. And thus, wrongness and rightness are at odds with each other. So, God is totally against wrongness, your old nature. How do you know he's against it? He crucified it. That's what he thinks about. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, then all by myself, I'm just a bad guy, wrong. But when I receive the rightness in the person of Christ, then I have another person who is opposed to my person. And I need to understand, I received him as my Savior because I needed him. I couldn't save myself. So when I received him as my Savior, I had to understand he's dead set against my old nature, which he crucifies. So therefore, there is conflict, Galatians 5 and 17. The two are against old nature and God, Spirit of God, against each other. That's what they are. So, and therefore the fruit, we said, the works of the flesh, Galatians 5 and 19, and the fruit of the Spirit, 5 and 22, are against each other. And therefore, we looked at having the fruit. How do we get fruit? We abide. The branches abide in the tree. In order to get leaves and fruit, you have to abide. And we say abide. Now what? How do we abide? How do we abide? So, having said that, now, in the light of keep my commandments, otherwise you don't love me. Now, how am I going to abide and keep his commandments? And here's this pile of commandments. And we don't keep his commandments. No one does. You couldn't even start to do so. And yet you tell us to keep your commandments, and otherwise we can't have any fruit. So how do we combine the abiding and the fruit and the keeping? So, in the light of that, a little exercise to get there again, which you know it, you just have to exercise it and keep the bigger picture. So, here we are in Genesis chapter 6. Now, how did humanity get along with God? In Genesis chapter 6, Noah got along with God, but the rest of humanity did not. So, chapter 6, as you know, in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So they didn't have any religion, didn't have any politics, they just rejected God. Called human government. We're going to run our own lives in our own way. So, here's the grace of God. That's what he got, grace. God, he receiving God's wonderful graciousness. And verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, righteous man, and perfect, the word perfect, wholeness, completeness. That's what you want to think of. Wholeness, completeness, full. It's a whole, sincere, whole. So therefore, perfect, complete. So therefore, Noah was not only found grace, but he was just looking to God, and he had his whole heart. he was had a wholeness, a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now, so that straight relationship to God, and we don't hear about keeping the commandments, we don't hear about anything. He just walked with God and enjoyed God. That's what he did. That's all he did. And God blessed him. Now, over, if I can, in the light of that, over to chapter, and to Noah, go over to Genesis 17. And Abraham would be the next obvious one to look at. Thank you. In chapter 17, and again about Abraham, and after the Genesis flood, people are doing government, politics, etc., worship, religion. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, like Noah walked with God, and be perfect. There's your same word, wholeness, completeness. Walk before me with your whole heart. Walk before me. So, you got that part of it. So God hears the whole heart. And we aren't, and go over now to put that together. Over, if I can, over to Deuteronomy. Epic. And Deuteronomy in chapter 4 and in verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, this is the commission, Israel, like Matthew 28 we use for the church's commission to reach out to the world. So here is the Israel's commission, there to be a nation to the nations. But in particular, as you know, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. For reason, to do, D-O, do them. Why? That you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You need to do them. So whenever we read of the relationship to God, remember, Noah and Abraham are trusting God's saving grace. They believe his promise to send a Savior, Genesis 3:15. But when it comes to after that, the world doesn't believe. The world isn't believing. And since Israel rejected the promise, Exodus 19, Israel didn't want to believe, they wanted to do. We'll do, God, whatever you tell us, and because we're capable of doing it, our works. So therefore, when you read all the relationship to the works, what do you have to do with the works? Do them. Do them. Keep the commandments. Do them. You want to do the work? You want to go by the rules? Follow the rules. So therefore, in the light of that, sliding over to chapter 5, as you know, just illustrate it so you can keep going, but here's just that. That's enough to get the point across. Chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears. This day, what on earth for that purpose, that you may learn them and keep and do them. You're going to keep saying that. That's right. You want to do it? You want to do it by yourself? Then you have to do it. You have to do it. You said you're going to be able to lift the big rock, then lift it. Lift it. Say, good enough, then be good enough. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, or if I can write, well, I'm right nearby, Now I think I'll split it a little bit. Go over to chapter 27. And in chapter 27, we're given the curses, but you're going to keep the law, then you have to understand if you don't keep the law, you're in trouble. In chapter 28, the blessings. And the blessings are there. If you want to obey God, and honor God, and believe God, the blessings are there. But when you come to the chapter, verse 27 again, here are the curses. And you have in chapter 27 the listing of them, and going all the way to the end, verse 26. And in verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to, what's the little word again? Do them. Do them. All of them. If you fail, like James 2:10, you fail in one point, you lost it all. You have to do every one of them. Like, remember we showed with righteousness, here's this sheet of white paper, clean as white paper. And that has to be white, perfect. And I took my little pen and put a dot on it, and it was no more perfect. One dot, one sin, one sin, one thought, one word, one deed. Guilty. So therefore, 27 again, and in verse 26, cursed be he that continueth not in all the words of this law, and to do them, and all the people shall say amen. Now, so when we come to the blessings, just to not make a note of it in your mind, so when we come to the blessings, we go chapter 28, 1 through 15, and then boom, verse after verse after verse after verse after verse, page after page of cursing. If you don't do the blessing, and then page after page of cursing, you'll never get anything. So God, back to what we said in the beginning, God went and saves us. He crucified our old nature. He's against everything in your life. When you believe, he's against everything in your life. When you receive him as your Savior. And why can you receive him? Because he died on the cross to take all of your sin. And that's why he's there. But it's a conflict. So therefore, keeping that in mind, back over to Deuteronomy and chapter 6. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, what are we looking at? Remember we said perfect? The word perfect, wholeness, completeness. Nothing's absent. It's complete, full, perfect. So, Deuteronomy chapter 6, what are you telling us, God? What are you telling them? Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's wholeness. Walk before me and be thou perfect with your whole heart, your whole being. God is going to love the heart with his whole heart. And God expects the whole heart of the person to love him, not half a heart, not three-quarters of a heart, the whole heart. It's a wonderful, unique, perfect relationship. Now, and therefore, verse 6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. I command you to know them, to understand them. If you're going to do the works, You have to understand the law. Remember, the law points to the love of God. The love of God points to the law of God. The love and the law of God point to the life of God. The life of God makes possible the love of God, makes possible the laws of God. The life does. Hang on, got that part? All right, now, and to tie that up in a little bow, I didn't say not, a bow. This is a whole lot. Now, over to Galatians. And in Galatians, chapter 3. And you will remember, just tie it together in your mind so you see it. So, chapter 3, Galatians, verse 21. If is the law, chapter 3, 21, is the law then against the promises of God? Noah, Abraham believed the promises. Israel didn't believe the promises. They believed they're going to do the law. So, 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, L-I-F-E, verily righteousness should have been by the law. I didn't need to die on the cross. All I needed to do was tell everyone obey, but they can't obey. They don't. They got an old nature. They just can't obey. Now, keeping that in mind, now, are you ready? Got that little background? You need that. So as we go to the next part. Therefore, or if I can, in your Bible, to John chapter 15. And what we're looking at little word keep, to me watch. Little word keep, you're going to look at, watch with the eyes, see with the eyes, God with the eyes, give strict, diligent, attentive looking. You're looking at something to keep an eye on it. Some keeps have to do with guarding, like with a sword. This word keep has to do guarding with your eyes. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't find it missing. Keep your eye on it. You're going to guard it. So therefore, to observe attentively, faithfulness, discharging one's obligations. We're going to keep. You're obligated. Therefore, keep. Now you got the little word keep. Okay, now, exercise it. Chapter 15, if I can, chapter 15 and in verse 10. If you keep, there's your little word, keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept, I, perfect man, have kept my Father's commandments. I kept them, you keep them. But you are perfect. You're the sinless Son of God. That's correct. But you keep them. I don't ask anything out of you that I don't give you in my grace that you can do it. You know, we did all these things. Just remind yourself. First Peter, be holy for what? I am holy. Now, how could you say that? Because God said, I am your holiness. I am your holiness. Matthew 5, the end. Be perfect as your heavenly Father. How can I be perfect like my heavenly Father? Because your Father makes you perfect in his Son. So be it. You're a child of God. Be a child of God. Be one. Now, that's the whole thing. Hang on now. So now, keep my commandments, and you will abide in my love. So, and just to see it again, to be a pain in the neck, over to 1 John, where we were, in the first epistle of John, and you'll remember in chapter 2. And picking up, please, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know, what do we know? That we know him. We know him. If we keep his commandments. Well, how am I going to keep his commandments? Keep his commandments. See, now, verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You're going to walk the same way. Same way. The Lord Jesus said, as I kept my Father's commandments, John 15 and 10, I want you to keep them, keep my commandments, keep them. So therefore, we're going to watch God go to the commandments in a way that God, you're going to be honored in all that we do. So we're going to have what, a heart fixed, looking to you to outwork your good will in your good way. So God, over to chapter, while you're here, what's the closest thing? James. James. And James chapter 1, verse 27. See the word keep. Pure religion and undefiled before God, the Father, and the Father is this. What is this? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep, there's your little word, keep himself unspotted from the world. Make sure, keep your eye, you don't get dirty as you get messed up. Now, what do you know if you get dirty? And you do get dirty. It's awful hard working in the coal mine without getting covered with coal dust on your shoes and everything. It's awful hard, isn't it? You got to live with the old nature, and your old nature is going 1,000% 24 hours a day against you. Words, thought, doubt, worry, want, depression, discouragement, 100,000 words to describe it. Now, God, what are we going to do? Now, what would I do? Now, I could tell you, I want you to read it for yourself. 1 John, what does it tell you? Practice some truth, please. You got it? 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7. I'll read it, I think. It's for the sake of hearing it. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, union, wholeness, completeness. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. We're walking with God. And you, Noah, you didn't keep his commandments. No, I walked with God. Abraham, you didn't. No, I walked with God with my whole heart. Okay. Verse 7, chapter 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is continuously cleansing us from all coal dust. You got it? It's continually cleansing you. Yep. Yeah, you walk along, you get squirted. Just, how am I doing it? I walk in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ shed his finished work. sweeps me clean. But I'm dirty as could be. But you're clean is wonderful. You're clean. Clean enough to be saved. Wonderfully clean enough to be saved. Wow. That's all I have to do. So now, are you getting the idea? You will get it. I'll keep bugging you to see it. Now you see. Go. And therefore, over if I can in the light of that. So what are we going to do, God? Well, over to Philippians. You got the idea of keeping. And Philippians. And Philippians, if I can, in chapter 2, that which you're very familiar with. And in Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, because Paul's in jail, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So, what is the instruction, the command? Work out. It's a command in the middle of voice. You yourself work out your wonderful saving grace, God's saving grace. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to work it out now. And notice and keep in mind, because in the light of what people think and say, it doesn't say work for your salvation. You're working out what you already have. You aren't going to work to get it. You're working because you have it. That's what you're doing. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's something you already have, a relationship. Noah had it, Abraham had it, et cetera, et cetera. Our Lord, perfect man, demonstrated it for us, a wonderful relationship to God. And we're to work that out with fear and trembling. I'm not working. I already have something. I need to work out the relationship. I need to abide. I need to keep the commandments. I need to behave myself, not like I did in the flesh, unsaved. I'm now saved. Behave yourself as a believer. Be a believer. Behave like one. Act like one. Live like one. That's what you do. You don't do that. Yeah. Now, so therefore, yeah, hang on, it'll come together, I hope. So in verse 13, why are you going to do it? Remember what Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? And next 9, he walked with God. What did you do? You got saved, and God saved when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and God's wonderful grace. You received it. God's grace was given to you. God did the saving. God did does the whole ball of wax. He does the whole thing. Because we don't have it in us and by us to do it in ourselves. So therefore, God, you're going to do. That's right. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and walked. So what are we doing? We're wonderfully saved by the grace of God. And we're to work out of that relationship. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is going to do it. It's the life of God and the love of God that is outworked. And you're exercising. Noah didn't have any of the Ten Commandments. Noah just knew God and believed God's saving grace. That's all he had. And all the world around him did nothing. Except in believing, they didn't believe. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. So we're going to go, and the commandments, we don't work for it. We work because we already have it. And if you don't think you have it, then you can't do it. You keep praying God as if you didn't have it. So God, help me to do this one, do that, God, and If you aren't sure, you aren't sure that he's going to help you. Then you doubt. I don't know. Maybe he'll help me. Maybe he'll help me through this. And then you're going to examine that thought. Maybe he'll help me through this. God doesn't want me to fail in it. This next 5 minutes, God doesn't want me to fail. So I have to succeed. Really, literally, in the next 5 minutes, I have to be. You have to be. God doesn't expect me to louse up 5 minutes. So I need to trust God. And that's what he's going to do. That's what we're trusting him for. To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So God, you have to help us. So therefore, in the light of that, over to Galatians. And in Galatians, if I can, chapter 5, and picking up in thought. What do we know? Chapter 5, in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, all nine things, representing an endless bunch of attributes, the endlessness of God. The fruit, word fruit is in the singular, and the Spirit of God is going to exercise the fruit. And then he lists these nine, starting with the word love, going to list love, love, the love of God. He's going to start with that. Now, so, and the love of God thus, so when we read the New Testament, we turn the pages, what are we doing? We aren't going to keep finding when it comes to commandments. We are not going to keep finding peace, long-suffering, etc. You're not going to find that. No, sometime, but not much. What are you going to do, God? Whenever you give a little list like we shared together, and last time when we talked about this, the list of God lists with no ends, A-N-D, love and joy and peace, not no ends, it's going straight through to the point, chapter 23, when you come to the end, meekness, temperance, self-control, against such, that's the whole point now, against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit makes it so that that you're able to go, and there is no law to complicate things. You have a relationship totally uncomplicated. Sincere, whole, the wholeness of it. You already have it. You got it. The law. If you keep the fruit of the Spirit, if you keep God's fruit, then there is no law to complicate or to louse it up in any way. And watch it again. Do it again. See it over if I can. Let me do this a little differently. I'll read verse 14. Watch the word law and love as we go through, because it says it very clearly, simply. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled, how so? In one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All the law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you bite, etc., it's your old nature. Verse 16, If I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So A, you'll be able to fulfill the law. B, you will not have a problem with coal dust. You're not a problem with sin. Nope, you're sin. And you know, if we say we walk in the light, we know we've got an old nature, so there's no minute that we don't understand that old nature is always there. So I don't have to apologize for it every minute. I just have to reckon it's there and count it crucified. God said, don't I broke the chains that held you. You're free. Don't do this again. Don't make yourself in bondage. You're free. Now, so therefore, verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the... Now, three things. You're not under the law. In verse 24, there is no law. There is no law against... There is no law, and etc. If you keep the... Verse 14, if you fulfill the law, fulfill the law in this, just one thing, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, so... Back to the little verse in verse 20, 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So I put the lead word front. All of these words are God is God. In particular, I put the lead word I'm going to use. Whenever I use the word love, I'm talking about God's attributes, God's awesome character, nature, essence, being. I'm talking about it. So, but you don't have to say them all. No. I'm just going to use the word love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Boom. Who did? God did. The fruit of the Spirit. Spirit of God's going to bring us what? The life of God. The life of God. That's what he's going to do. That's his job. To bring us a relationship to Christ, that we can be a child of God, a son of God, for real. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, put that together. Oh, if I can, Gospel of John, chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, and tying it in your mind, and chapter 13, picking up, please, in verse 34. 13:34. A new commandment, this is in the upper room, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, how are you going to do that? You can't do that. We don't have very much love for ourselves. We got a lousy love for ourselves, all about ourselves. That's pride. No. What are we going to do, God? Well, you're going to go and what? I want you to go, and I saved you. I want you to show you're saved. I want you to show you're saved. So therefore, what are you going to do? You're going to be out there, and you're going to be in the midst of people that are unsaved, and you're going to be an example of life. What do you mean life? God's wonderful saving grace. You are a new creature in Christ in a wonderful, wonderful way. So be that new creature in Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and just enjoy him. Enjoy God's wonderful person. And when you do that, you're going to do that. What are you doing? You're enjoying God. How do you say it? You're loving God. But in loving God, you know that he loves you and saved you. And you know what? He loves everyone you're around you, unsaved, and we're to love our enemies. We're to love. So what are we doing? We're showing God's wonderful life. You're his disciple because you love. You're conscious, the bad guy. You may have to shoot him as a whatever, but you have to shoot him, but you know, whatever. You have to do it. That's right. God's showing what? God loves him. God loves him. That's what he does. No matter who. And you love the brethren. Why? Because you do. Because God does. The God who saves me saves you. Doesn't he? You know, we have no choice. You have no choice, God said. You want to enjoy life? Your life, my life, his life. I can't enjoy life, love, unless I do it. And that's why it's such a mess out there. It's too much. No, it's simple. God truly loves you. God saves you. And therefore, God, keep my commandments. As you know, and turn back over there first. Well, no, you got the idea. Go back over to chapter 15, verse 10 for a minute, and tie that together as we're talking, trying to think about things. Chapter 15, John, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Well, if I'm honoring your word, God, I'm abiding. The branch is abiding. I don't have to work at it. It's just there. It's just there. I'm honoring God. You're abiding. As a son, act like a son. Think like a son. Be a son. Think. So your mind is where you are. You have your old nature. You're part of Adam and his sin. But God has saved you for himself. And therefore, you're a child of God. Therefore, a new commandment I give unto you. To make that even easier, over to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 22. Matthew and chapter 22. And you will note, Matthew chapter 22, picking up, please, in verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Said the lawyer. Verse 37. Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. What did you read a bit ago when we read? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That's what you want, God. That's right. But you can't do it by the law. You don't have it in you. I do it. So I don't want to jump ahead. In verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang A-L-L, all the law and the prophet. All the law and the prophets. All that they said. All that they demanded. All that they looked for. So what are we doing? We're going to be abiding. The word abide, a dwelling, remaining, staying, abiding in the resting. We're to be abiding, dwelling, remaining, staying, resting in God's word, God's work, God's working, God's workmanship. Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. That's what? I'm going to be abiding. Why? I'm going to be behaving myself. I understand I'm a believer. I understand I have an old nature. I understand that. And I'm going to walk with God intelligently and rightly. I'm not going to live any old way. Please, and talk about abiding. Now, abiding means you enjoy the... Another different illustration. You have a seat. Here's my big dinner table. Like David had. Big dinner table for... Like that, and so there, and you have a seat. Your seat's right there. Your name's on a little seat with a tag. The name's on that seat. And so therefore, you come to that table, and you can come to that table. You don't have to come to the table. You're qualified. You're saved. God wants you to sit with the brethren. Sit at God's table, like the Lord's table. Sit at God's table and enjoy the meal. It's your right to sit there. You belong there. Abide in the chair. Dwell. Sit there. I don't want to sit there. I don't like that food. See? I don't want to hear that. That's what people do. If we just read the right verse, over the years we watch it, we're just doing what we're doing, and someone says, oh, I don't believe that, and boom, out the door. That doesn't bother me anymore. Do whatever you want. People don't care that much. No, you're looking for reality. You're looking for real people to make it. That's all. That's all we're doing. God, find the real ones and get them there and then strengthen them. That's what we're trying to do, feed each other. So, I like it. So here's all the commandments, wonderfully, wonderfully God, and God keeps them in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And so, God, we're going to go and look to you to do that. So therefore, 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3. And may I pick it up in thought. And you'll notice, please, 1 John 3, if I can go, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because you keep, there's your little verb, keep. Keep God with the eye. Because we keep his commandments and do them. Well, that's what God assumes. You should be behaving yourself. You're a child of God. Be one. And those things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23. And this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of the Son of God. Got that part? What's the commandment? Receive the Lord as your Savior, be saved. Second part, and love one another as he gave us commandment. If you do that, that's the whole law. There is no other law. That's life. Life includes law and love. You got the whole, you got your life. Live a life. Live it. You got it. Yep. That's all you have to do. This is the commandment that you we should believe, on the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he dwelleth in Christ, and he, Christ, in him, in the believer. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Back to Galatians 5. 22. The fruit of the Spirit is what? The whole ball of wax. He brings the life. He brings the love. Everything that your old nature keeps you from, the Spirit of God makes real for your life. So that's what you need to do. You need to look to God and thank God and behave God in a most wonderful way. And that's to keep his commandments. That's what you're going to do. And love, God's love, brings us into God. It brings us into God to know Christ as our Savior. And when we come to know Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God is going to say to us, never stop saying it, present tense, Galatians and Romans 8, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. Keep saying Father. Yep. The relationship. Abide in the relationship. Behave yourself as a believer. Act like a believer. Think like a believer. Live like a believer. Be one. Be actually one. Don't talk about church. I go to church on Sunday, and I give, and I speak. I'm even a reverend and stuff, you know, and I do all that. That's right. God, be one. Be for real. No. Be for real. Yeah. That's all. The rest of it, I know it. We cheer, we sing, we do it. God bless all that. I'm not against that. I just wish it would. I wish it would lock itself in. We're in terrible straits, spiritually. Our country, our whole world has gone down like this. We have a little reprieve at the moment in the government, etc., that people could get saved, and at least they're conscious of some patriotism, conscious of God doing something and something. At least some people are, and some people could really get saved. But be careful. Well, I believe in God. I'm Roman Catholic, you see. If you're a true Roman Catholic, a Catholic system, you won't be saved. Because you can't get saved. The Pope, they aren't going to get saved. You have to believe in the system. That's works. It's works. You got to do the works. Don't do the works, you'll fit in. No. So God, what are we going to do? So God has to help us all as the country goes, that many would truly, truly get saved. And that's really what you want. All the rest of it isn't much. Unless it's God make it real. And when it's real, you relax and enjoy an awesome God. We don't deserve it, but God makes it possible. And so we rest in God's saving grace to do what he does, keep his commandments. You want to abide? Keep his commandments. That's how the branch stays connected. Stay abiding and just enjoy it. I'm going to get into it. I'll do it somewhere coming up. I'm going to do it. What do we need to do? We need to abide and what? And what's the first word? The fruit, love. And love is the key word to bring everything together. God so loved the world. So what are we going to do? We're going to actually let God be loving us for real. What do you think of that? We talk about love. We love you. I love you. Whatever. But just don't cross me. Paul, don't cross me. You got the idea? No. You want to know love from God's position and abide in it. What do you mean loved? To be brought into God's wonderful person in a fullness that allows you to abide and rest. I got to quit his presence. You got the idea? That's what, I got to quit. Don't tell anybody. Thank you.